Thank you, Miss Angie. And Children's Church can be jumping out at this time. You take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to be jumping around a lot, a little bit less than normally I try to preach through the book of the Bible, as you know, but felt led to go in this direction. Been talking to Brother Billy about this message for a long time now, about a year, and Brother Mitchell and a couple of different ones, and finally felt like it was time to maybe share a little bit of it. And it's one of those things that we can go a long way with, and hopefully it'll make you laugh a little bit, but it'll also get a very, very couple of real points across to you as the young people are heading out. We're so thankful for all the kids and all the different ones in the kids' church. But title of the message this morning is Lessons from the Llamas. I'll explain that in just a minute. And of course, have you ever wondered why so many ball teams and sports teams and schools, every school you go to has a mascot? You know, and there's some weird ones. You know, West Virginia, there's a town has the polka dots. There's a Hickory, North Carolina, I believe, has the Hickory Crawdads. I'm not sure how their cheerleaders come up with something to go with that, you know. And I don't even know. I don't know how you got something. You really should think these things through. People should think things through before they do it. When we were down in the Florida area, of course, there's Tampa, Florida, USF, University of South Florida, and they are the Bulls. This is a great mascot until you see the girls come out in the volleyball team with the Lady Bulls across their jersey. Come on. You think about that. I mean, there's no good way around it. You know, you don't want to call them the, you know, female version of a cow, you know, what do you do? And so maybe some of those things should have been thought through a little bit. But why do you do that? You realize most people or most of the things in our society, even the atheists, the evolutionists, the agnostics, they are using a God-given principle. Because what does God say? My people are like what? Sheep. And go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. The book of Proverbs, chapter 30, and I'll just read some of these. Of course, Brother Billy has a message on the ants and, of course, the birds. But the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, there's a whole list of things here. Verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, which are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands as his king's palaces. And then he goes on to continue to talk about the lion, the greyhound, the goat. And he lists all these different animals. And I have learned in studying, particularly as we've been studying in the Leviticus series, and I'll be picking up there a little bit again on Wednesday night, there is nothing in God's word or his world that is wasted. He has put all these things here for our admonition and our learning and so that it may benefit. For instance, the word stone in Hebrew. I don't know if you realize this. The word stone in Hebrew forward means stone and rock, but also even if you spell it backwards, it means prophecy. When you put it together, you realize he is saying that even the rocks will cry out. Have you heard that before? Nothing in the Hebrew language is wasted. And so it is in God's creation. He says, thus not even the stars themselves tell of the handiwork of God, that there has to be a God. I mean, have you ever seen a box of maybe car parts sitting in a garage put themselves together? No, it's foolishness. Have you ever seen a bomb explode and make something creative? No, it's just destruction. So pray tell, how in the world could a bang happen and out pop a professor with a PhD? It's not going to happen. Although I have been wondering if some of them, maybe that's what happened. I mean, it doesn't happen.
And God has put all this together so that we could learn from it. Now, llamas themselves, and I'm not here to give you a whole lesson on llamas. I'll show you a video of one here in a minute just so you have a reference and all that. I am not interested that you know about llamas. I am interested about what you can learn from them that will help you with the Lord your God. That's our goal. And we can learn from them. And sometimes it takes that physical attribute of understanding that. The Bible, even when he describes the devil, what does he say? He is walking about like a what? A lion. He uses an animal attribute. And so there's much to be learned. Seeking whom he may devour. But submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I think if I saw a lion up here, the first thing I would do was run, not necessarily submit to God and stand up to him. But as we see them, and you say, well, llamas aren't in the Bible. You are absolutely correct. They are not in the Bible in that name. They are actually, and a lot of people get llamas and cows and goats and pigs and donkeys and all that confused. They're not. Llamas are actually a member of the camelid family. So they come from the camels. And camels, of course, are in the Bible. We're told in Leviticus they are not kosher food. You're not to eat them. As far as a Jew, I mean, I guess as a Gentile, you can eat whatever you want. But you come out and try to eat our friend Larry at the farm, he probably wouldn't like it. Of course, Jesus used the illustration, can a camel go through the eye of the needle, talking about the needle gate and how impossibly hard it was. It could be done, but it was very difficult. And it's taught as they get on their knees. Our llamas, when they sit down, they kneel just like a camel. They don't, and they sometimes will flop and roll over, but they look like a camel when they're sitting down. They don't have top teeth. They don't have hooves. They have toes. So they're a lot different. They are more like a camel. They were bred, and it's funny, you think of a camel being in the desert, but they like cold weather. They hate this hot weather. We've had to have misters and water and all that stuff for them. And had to shear them, and that's, I probably won't get to the shearing part in this message. There's just too much here. But they are, so that is what, when you see them in the Bible with that. And so real quickly, and I don't want to take up much time with this, Mason, if you'll hit that video, you can see one of our little, he used to be our youngest, and then we had a baby on Father's Day, so now the baby's the youngest. She's only 2 months, but this is Mario. And they really do run that way. They bounce on all fours. I mean, he's happy when he's doing that. His mane's blowing back in the wind and all that. Thank you, Mason. And I mean, they are a fun, fun animal. Really getting to know them, getting to train them, their personalities. And you, except for Larry the llama, you've got more chance of getting bit by a dog probably than spit on by our llamas. Now, he's an alpaca llama mix. There's reasons. But anyway, he's different. But one of the things, as I was sitting watching them in the field several times, and of course we watched them, and Wendy's got cameras not in our house but on our llamas, so she can see them when she's gone and all that. I was like, man, this is amazing. And a lot of times I'll sit there and read some of the Word of God in the early morning hours and be sitting out there and looking at them, and I begin to look at these lessons. Like, what can we learn from these animals? And I got to talking to Brother Billy. He said, you need to preach a message on that. I said, that'd be silly. He said, no, you need to do that. And I kept sharing with him things. So I've been writing them down every time I come up with them. I promise I will not share them all this morning. We don't have time for that. But the first point that I want you to see is that llamas, and this is like a lot of God's animals, graze. And they graze repeatedly. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 20. When I go out in the morning and see them, I'll get up and go walking out there and see all of them. And I'll come to this verse here in a little bit. And other than the fact they want to know where you are in the house. I mean, I think they're stalkers too, but they when you open the window, they look. As soon as the door opens, they come running over. They want to see what you're doing. They're very, very curious animals. Much more than a cow or a donkey or something would be. They love to come over and see what you're about, what you're doing, and all of that. Some of them will actually give us nose bumps. They'll come up and bump your nose if you'll stand still for them to do that. But the very first thing, when I go outside in the morning, the very, very first thing I see every single one of them will either be chewing their cud or eating some grass. Now, the little one, she looks at it, and she's now just started a couple of weeks ago starting to really eat grass. She looked at it and nose at it like, I don't know what you guys are doing. I can't get it. This doesn't taste like mama's milk, you know. But she's starting to get where she understands it, and she's even doing that. Let me ask you this. Tomorrow, what is the most important thing you're going to do? I mean, when I ask you that question, what came to your mind? Now, that gets us thinking, doesn't it? Did you know it's even possible? I hope not. Some of us may be in heaven by tomorrow. What is the most important thing in your life tomorrow? Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall keep lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I have noticed from these lamas, they have taught me one of their lessons is they eat repeatedly. They got to be Baptist. They eat all the time. Man, our seniors group, now I love y'all, but y'all the eatingest bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. Man, we went up to Mount Airy to Pilot Mountain when the bus broke down that day, and we went all the way up there. There was people winning. I ate breakfast before I came. We stopped at like 9:30, 10, and for some reason, I guess they had to go to the bathroom or something, some people ran over to Bojangles and got Bojangles. We went up to Mount Airy, and at 1:30, we were in Golden Corral after the thing at a buffet. Come on. Baptists will find a buffet. They can sniff it out better than a C&I dog at a party, you know. But they were at a buffet. Well, the bus broke down. Well, we sat side the road a few hours. Miraculously, Brother Zane Fishel brought us another bus, and we were on the road again by 5:30. 6 o'clock, Brother Paul pulls the bus off into a plaza. I said, what are you doing? He said, we're stopping at McDonald's. I said, for what? I had a cup of coffee. I'm not kidding you. I had a cup of coffee and watched them eat. I love y'all, but y'all put away some food. I said, y'all don't need to travel with me to Florida. We won't ever get there. There's too many restaurants between here and there. But you know what? More importantly than what you eat tomorrow, you need to be repeatedly grazing on the Word of God and praying with Him in His Spirit and talking with Him repeatedly. Amen. More than anything else in your entire life. You say, Brother Tim, that sounds like a broken record. A lot of your messages have that in. Good, I'm glad you noticed. I'm going to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Because you need to eat repeatedly. Are you going to face the same problem tomorrow that you did last week? Now, you educators, don't answer that, because if you go to school, you probably will. Your same student's going to be there, right? Over and over. But you might have something different. There might be a verse that you need that you get today or tomorrow in the Word of God that is the only verse that is going to help you through that day. And I can't be there with you every moment of the day. Brother Billy can't be there. Our deacons can't be there. Our Sunday school staff, they can't be there every moment of the day. But he can. And you see, you need to graze on him and with him. And every time I go out there, man, there's, just chomping away. If you watch them eat, they just, and they'll look at you, these big old eyes, like, what you doing? I'm having a good time. They'll be over there laying down. Sometimes now, occasionally, they actually lay down and take a nap now. And I'll get to that in a minute. But when they're sitting up, they'll be looking like a camel, and they'll be sitting there just a munching, and they'll be sitting in the shade. One of them likes to sit by the misters and get wet during this time of year, and he'll be sitting there just like, tomorrow about 11, what Bible verse is going to come to your mind? Maybe what about 4 o'clock? Now, if you drive through Raleigh on the way home, I hope there's a lot of verses come to mind. Be ye angry and sin not. Jesus wept might come to mind. Yeah, you give me. But you're going to need it. They need that food repeatedly. They go to the right source. Not only is it repeatedly, but it is rightly. Rightly dividing the word of truth all day, every day. I cannot think of a day of the week that I don't need Jesus. Can't think of it. And if you wait until you are standing in front of that doctor or in front of that health professional, or until that problem comes up at work or at school, if you wait till then to look for a verse, it might be a little too late. Told somebody the other day, they said, well, they wanted to know about, and they were a non-believer, and they said, well, I don't know about this one. Do you go to the hospital, and do you do something for them when they're dying so that they can have that decided? And I said, that ought to be decided a long time before that. And I can't decide it for them. But the llamas have taught me that they graze repeatedly. They graze on the right stuff. Word of God. And you are going to need it. And I cannot tell you enough. Get in this book. Let this book get into you. If you commute, put it on your app, whatever app you want to use. There's 1,000 of them now that will read the Bible to you. And you can, you know, listen to that. You listen to whatever voice you want to listen to with it, but just listen to the Word of God. That's what you need to listen to. I was joking with Wendy. I said, I'm going to have her make a GPS for moms after we were on this trip the other day. And I said, it's going to say, because she was driving on 95 in South Carolina. If you've been through there, you know what I'm talking about. It's 85 or 60 or 30 and thousands of potholes. And people running over you. And I said, it's going to say something like this. Slow down or we are going to die. Don't make me come back there, you know. It's going to be a mom GPS. Doesn't matter what voice you listen to as long as it's the right words. The Holy Spirit of God getting in you. But I've learned something else. Not only have I learned that from the llamas, I have learned not only do llamas graze, but they guard. Now, llama is actually sold. They're sold for several different reasons. For us, they're pets. Wendy always wanted them, and Brother Billy kind of tagged it with it. He said, since you've been in drama, and we call you Drama Mama, there's only one way you can go with, and that's Drama Mama's Llamas. So it's a mouthful, but it fits on her little cards. But llamas are actually given for wool. They are given for fiber. Some people call it wool. Some people call it fiber. There's a lot of differences in them. Some people register them for shows. We actually got back, finally, takes forever. It's worse than the DMV. But we got back a notification. We finally have two of them registered that were in our name now. So we have two actually official registered. But they are sold for all kind of purposes like that. And I don't think I'm going to make it to that part of that in this message, but they're sold for that. They're sold for, of course, having more llamas so you can breed them and they can be sold for that. They're also sold for others, but you always send them out in pairs. That's very interesting. You try not to send them out in pairs, or if you send a single llama out, the point I just made them be, not only they graze, they are guard animals. They've got to be with a herd. You don't put a llama in a pen all by itself. Now, if you put it in a herd of sheep or a herd of goats or a herd of cows, it will adopt that as its herd. When you think about what Jesus told us, When you go out, what did he tell the disciples? Go out two by two, at least. You know, you don't have to come to church. But you can sit at home and you can see a fireplace burning on a TV screen, but it will not warm you up. The only way you can feel the warmth of God's people and the fellowship and the friendship of God's people is you get in the building where the fire's at. And in this respect, the lamas, they go out, they go by herds, they guard. Well, the first thing they guard is their own hide. Nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. You need to take care of yourself. You need to have that steady diet of the Word of God, as we talked about. Psalms chapter 69, verse 32, I'll just read it for you. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seeks God. Guard your heart. Now, I'm not talking about your physical heart. I'm sure that needs a little guarding. But your spiritual soul, the part that is you, you have to guard it. You have to guard it against trials, temptations, testings. You have to guard your testimony from within your heart. You have to guard your time wisely, redeeming the time because the days are evil, the Word of God states. And so there's a lot of things you have to guard your own hide. And they do. They guard their own hide. They're a little bit selfish in that. They take care of themselves. But did you know llamas are also guard? They not only guard their hide, they guard the herd. Very interesting. I didn't know this. Like I said, we've learned so much about them, learning every day with them. They are also not only sold for fiber, they're not only sold for pets or for breeding or for show, they are also sold for guard animals. Now, you probably don't want to get one, especially if you live in a subdivision in this area or in a lot of areas, and put out there, beware of guard llama. That's probably not what we're talking about. But say you have a herd of sheep or a herd of cows or a herd of goats, and you want some animals to guard them from coyotes or, you know, bobcats or something, they make an excellent guard animal. Out west, they use them quite frequently. And I didn't realize this. And believe it or not, you can actually even, I don't know what this guy's going to do, but you can actually drive them in I've seen them in a car as small as our little Honda Fit. People train them, they'll get in and sit down. So I guess you could guard your car, but not very long. But they will go out there. If a coyote were to come up, and we've actually seen some of this, the first time we saw this wasn't a coyote that was something in the woods, later found out it was a bobcat. And we have one of our llamas. Now, we didn't name these guys before I say this, but this guy is our breeding male, and we didn't name him, but his name is Hotshot. And he's Hotshot is one of the primary males that helps guard. Larry's a little bit that way, too. But here's what he will do. We saw one day he stood up on his back legs, and when he stands up on his back legs, even though they are what we have, what's called miniature llamas, they stand about my head height, on his head, he stood straight up in the air. His hooves went straight, his toes went straight up in the air, those claw things on there. And he stared off out there. And when he does that, he's about 7.5-8 feet tall at the top. It's pretty impressive. Made me realize our 4-foot fence will not keep him in. And there's another lesson about that too, I hope we can get to. But he stood up like that. Then he sat back down and he let out a la 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 la. I was like, what in the world are you doing, buddy? His tongue, I can't make the sound. I've got it on video somewhere, but he made this really wild sound. I said, what is wrong? I said, we have done got a Pentecostal llama. He's speaking in tongues. I said, buddy, you didn't know this was a Baptist household, did you? We don't do that here. But when he did that, he was staring off across the woods. At that time, we had the whole herd together. The whole herd all of a sudden came running up. And it was like they had this battle plan going. They spread out into a little, the three guys kind of got in this little triangle. The girls kind of got on the sides and in a circle. They put the youngest one was kind of standing in the middle. And I mean, they like flat-footed us. I don't know what's going on here. Well, later we found out it was a bobcat in the woods. One night we had a pack of coyotes go running through the woods by our house. Happened again. One time when I got to see it the most, a dog they didn't know. You can't let your dog run around the pen with them. They'll use it as a soccer ball. And we went out there, but they know our dog, and they will kind of, you know, look at each other through the fence pretty amicably. But they will, the strange dog was a lab, came running up in our yard, and it was at the edge of the yard. And I said, what is, our dog was barking, the llamas were making that noise, and they were all this time all standing right at the edge of the fence. And I mean, they were just, it was like they were bowed up, you know, like a cat. And finally, I saw right at the corner, way down the bottom of our driveway, we live on a hill, there was a lab standing there just looking. And they were just clucking at him and even doing their legs a little bit. And I guarantee you, he'd have come in that pen and they'd have been playing ball with him, kicking him through the goalpost alive. But they tell me what they will do is they will triangle together and they will stomp a coyote to death. They'll surround it until they got it surrounded and they'll kill it. So you don't have to worry about taking care of them as far as that. They will guard their own hide and their herd. It is habitual in how they do this. Do you know what else I've noticed about the guarding? You know, the Bible says all things are given for us to learn from. And that's what I was telling you earlier on when I read those verses about the fact he's given everything for our learning. Everything in the Hebrew language has a purpose. They will often take naps. People who are in the llama world, I guess you'd say, sometimes even have signs on their property that says, no, my llama's not dead, he's just napping. So, I mean, you look out there and they'll be, Mabel especially, she'll be out there, she's our old girl, she'll be laid out and her head will be completely lumped and her tongue about it, she's sound asleep. They like to take dirt baths and roll. One of our guys likes to roll over and he kicks his legs up in the, we got a lot of pictures of we can't even keep memory on any kind of pictures right now. Wendy goes crazy with, and you, his hooves and all that, or his toes are all up in the air and he's like that and he looks stiff. He looks like a dead dog. And they'll nap in the sun. And then they'll roll over after a while, go get cooled off, get dirt bath. But one thing I noticed particularly, and we walk by in the morning and the night, our dog's got to walk through before we go to bed after dark. She walks by and has to see them. There's always one of them. The whole herd might be asleep and one of them might even be laying down, but there's always one of them has that head in the air and it's looking this way, looking that way. And they can see very, very, very well and in the dark and looking that way. A couple hours later, it'll be a different one. A couple hours later, it's a different one. And I got to realizing they are standing guard, taking turns being on guard. Can you imagine if the church of God were to mobilize to the point where we got rid of all these petty jealousies and just said, whatever it is, the body is fitly joined together, as 1 Corinthians tells us. Nobody had to tell you to do it. You just went out and did it. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to guard the herd. We are supposed to guard each other. We're not supposed to tear one another down. We're not supposed to be always, you know, nitpicking at one another. Maybe somebody doesn't agree with you. That's okay. Our llamas don't all have the same color either. So, you know, we're not always the same. We're not the same. And we need to guard each other. Not only guard our hide, guard our heart, but guard each other. It's a habitual day. How they know, I was like, man, do you guys have a Google calendar or something? How do you keep up with who's on duty right now, you know? All right, it's Mabel, Mario, Mocha's too young, not yet you, Kayla. You know, how do y'all do this? But God has just given them that instinct within the herd. You know, when God called Moses into what we would call his ministry, he said, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. He used that rod to turn into a snake. And you know, that's what he does with us. When you get saved, when you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you make him the Lord of your life, you become a Christian. often he looks at you and says, what's in your hand? What is your talent? What is it that you already have that can be used for the kingdom of God? And he takes that gift that you have and applies it so that you can help the body of Christ. We need to guard each other. There's never been such a day that I believe the church of God is under attack. The crazy laws we have going on, the crazy stuff we have going on across the world, Satan would love to do nothing better than to start a church fuss and get Christians fighting each other rather than what they're supposed to be doing and fighting the devil. And the llamas have learned that they have to work together. It is habitual. Something else. And I turn to 1 John 4, 1. I want to try to quickly make it to this because you might forget it for the next time. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to try to go from memory on that. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And you say, what does that have to do with that? Llamas not only guard their hide, their herd, it is habitual, they guard their house. Now, how many of you grew up on a farm? Just let me see your hands. Well, a lot of you. I figured in this area. I love this area of the country. When we moved here, I fell in love with it. I just love the farm country. I'm much happier on a woods trail than I am a city street any day. Last week, we were down in Florida, and probably the subdivision my mother-in-law lives in was, we could have probably put on our little four-acre plot, probably could have put every house in there in it. And it was probably, 40, 50 houses because they're 15, 16 tenths of an acre, lots, little bitty places as far as that. And it about drove our dog nuts trying to walk with all that traffic going by, and she just couldn't get it. But I love the farm areas. How many of you ever had goats growing up? Oh yeah, a lot of you. What's the first thing a goat will do when it sees a fence? Jump it, eat through it, try to figure out how to go under it. He's going to get out. It is not if, it is when. A cow ain't much different, I mean, a cow's a little better, but I've seen a cow down at Brother John's place hop a 4-foot chain link fence like it wasn't nothing. I said, okay, now I believe it. The cow really could jump over the moon. But it's amazing. And but a cow will push through a fence. And my neighbor the other day, I had to call him. We got home from VBS one night, and I heard a bunch of pounding out when we were out walking by the llama pen, and I said, what is that noise? And my neighbor had a couple of horses, a horse that was just making laps around his house. And he was on the phone, had the air conditioner running, couldn't hear him. So we had to go over and tell him, hey man, your horse is out. And he had to go get him. He said, he's all the time trying to, he's got an electric fence. He said, he still figures out how to jump it or get through it. He's just a stubborn one. He had to leave him tied up in the barn the next day till his grandson could get there and take care of the fence. And that is their very first. They see the fence as a challenge. Sounds like a lot of Christians, I know. They get saved, and I believe they truly get saved, but then they see all the principles of the Word of God or a lost person. A lost person, this is the only way they see it. They see the doctrines of salvation and doctrine of sanctification and doctrines of this. They see all those doctrines as a fence to keep them in. But you know what? The llamas, I told you they have a 4-foot fence. And we researched the hound out of this trying to learn everything we could. And I said, I don't believe this. But they said a 4-foot fence is all you need for miniature llamas. And I said, I've seen those boogers jump. I know they can hop. They can easily hop a 4-foot fence. Now, you've been out to visit them. You ain't coming no more. But we can halter them. We can walk them around. We're getting trails built where we can eventually take people on walks and all that stuff, do homeschool field trips. And I'm not worried about them jumping at all. And one other thing I want to tell you about when they graze that I forgot to tell you, they only eat when they're content. Does the Word of God state, whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. They only eat when they're happy with that, when they like their surroundings and like where they're living. And these llamas, when they are out there doing that, they are not only guiding their herd, their hide and all that, but they're guarding their house. They do not see the fence as keeping them in. In fact, to get them to go out of the fence, we have to halter them. And if it's been a while, sometimes we even have to bribe them with a little grain to get them to cross out the gate and to go out. But no, what they see the fence as is they see the fence as keeping you and predators out. Do you know what the doctrines of this book are to the Christian? They are not a fence to keep you in, but rather they are a fence to keep the dangers of the world and the dangers of the devil out of your life. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are righteous, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things, think on these things. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Is that sitting there to keep you in? No. Is that to keep you from having fun? No. That is given to the Christian to keep the bad things out and to protect your life and to empower you. And that's the way they see those fences. They are there designed to do that, to protect them. And the principles and the precepts of the Word of God are put in place in your life to protect you and to keep you from harm. What is it that He said? I have desired to give you good things. You don't know what I've prayed I have for you. The Father, the Son makes intercession before us, before the Father all the time. He is constantly going before and to protect us. And so I hope that when you, next time you see a llama maybe or one of Wendy's posts on that, she's putting them out there all the time, that you will think about this. They graze repeatedly. They guard. And that they guard your heart. That you guard your heart. You guard your house. And I don't know, as we get ready to close this morning, now I started out asking you, what's the most important thing you're going to do tomorrow? What about today? What about right now? Is there something in your life that you need to ask God to help you with? Maybe you don't know Him as Jesus Christ as Savior, and if you don't know Him, you can't graze on Him continually. You can't eat with Him continually. Maybe there's things you've been struggling with, and you said, I don't understand that. Why can't I? And God's been trying to tell you, I'm trying to keep you out of trouble. Child, I'm putting this fence up in your life. That thing that you're looking at and you're saying, well, that's terrible. And God might be saying, child, I put you in this situation to protect you and to guard you. I don't know what your needs might be here and online, but we'll have Miss Brenda come, and maybe Brother Linwood, if you want to pick out something. And let's just stand for time of invitation. You know, I know it's the most unusual message. And let's just all stand, and we'll give you an opportunity to, maybe you'd like to, I know some had talked to me about joining the church perhaps today, or maybe there's other needs that are in your life. This altar's always open. If you're like me, if you were to try to list all the things that you really struggle with, we probably don't have time for that. As somebody in Sunday school said, if Jesus was eating lunch at your house today, what would you have to do? And what would you want to tell him? And somebody said, I don't have enough time to get ready for him. You know, he could come today, any moment. You could meet him by way of death or rapture or whatever, at any time. So I don't know what your needs are here today for that, but God would love to speak to each and every one of you. He would love to graze with you continually. He'd love to spend that time with you. And maybe you say, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't feel like I ever spend time with Him like that. Maybe you just need to check up. Do you really know Him? Is He really your Savior? Maybe you need to guard your heart. Start helping guard the church of God and stop looking inward at all your problems. You know what I found? Whenever you have problems, when you get rid of them and you start looking at how you can help other people, the problems start to go away. Because you're guarding other people instead of your problems. You're not holding on to them anymore.